Hi, I'm Jared Fuller. Welcome to Scratching the Surface. When I lived in New York, one of my favorite local institutions was the Storefront for Art and Architecture. One of the reasons I loved it, honestly, was because I was never quite sure how to describe it. I was never quite sure exactly what it was. It was this gallery space on the corner of Kenmare and Center Streets in downtown Manhattan, and the facade was designed by architect Stephen Hull and artist Vito Acconci, where the facade would open up into these geometric panels that would blur the lines between the gallery itself and the street in front of it. This blurring, I think, is a metaphor for Storefront. Founded in 1982 by Kwong Park as an independent artist-run forum to explore the relationship between public and private space, over its 40-year history, Storefront has brought together artists and architects and designers and researchers and activists to explore the issues of our time in expansive, experimental, and critical ways. In 2018, Jose Esparza Chonghui was appointed Storefront's fifth executive director and chief curator. In the 5 years since he joined, Jose has implemented and initiated a year-long curatorial framework where a series of exhibitions build upon each other, each around a particular theme over the course of a year. This framework to me was really interesting because it seemed like a fascinating way to think about the identity of an institution that is also experimental and crossing disciplines and boundaries. So I was excited to have Jose on the show today to talk about what he's doing at Storefront and where he sees this work going. Jose originally studied architecture and actually interned at Storefront 10 years ago before studying at Columbia in their Critical Curatorial and Conceptual Practices program. Before returning to Storefront, he was a curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago. In this conversation, where Jose spoke from Storefront's newly renovated offices, you can actually hear some work still being done near the end of the episode, we talk about the history of the organization and why he jokes that the "and" in Storefront for Art and Architecture is actually the most important word in their name. We talk about Jose's background in architecture and his work as a curator and how his understanding of architecture has evolved. If you liked this episode and what we do here at Scratching the Surface, I hope you consider supporting us on Patreon. Patreon supporters get bonus interviews, full transcripts, an exclusive monthly newsletter, all while helping to keep this show free for everyone all the time. You can head over to patreon.com/surfacepodcast to sign up. Thanks for listening, and here is my conversation with Jose Esparza Chonghui. You were appointed the executive director of Storefront back in November 2018?
November 2018, yes. It's like over 5 years now, which is insane.
Yeah, it feels like yesterday. I remember when it was announced that you were taking over. And one of the things you did shortly after you joined is you started this framework or sort of program that you were calling Building Cycles, which are these sort of year-long sort of exhibitions that sort of build on each other and are thematically related. And I thought we could start there to sort of frame this larger conversation that I'm interested in having. Can you describe this framework of building cycles and why you wanted to do that coming into this role and the goals of that program or that framework for thinking about exhibitions?
Yeah, thank you for the question. It's interesting you bring it up because I actually kind of arrived to Storefront. I would say a curatorial background, where I was working as a curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago, and before that as a curator at the Jumex Museum in Mexico City. And one of, I guess, like one of my experiences of working in museums is that you get a chance to work very closely with artists and sort of like go deep into the subjects that their work addresses. But it is very rare that you can sort of get a chance to work. Like you usually work in these kind of like very isolated sort of one-on-one relationship with one artist or a couple of artists at the same time, but never with them together. In a way, you work on like one exhibition and like you close that exhibition and it's kind of like a very isolated subject, and then you move into the next exhibition project. And there was something for me that about like Storfront's scale and Storfront's history that's all that has always been an institution that's been very kind of research focused. A lot of the projects that are presented at Storefront are artist projects or projects by architects that are very kind of research focused. And I thought about the scale of this institution as an institution that could perhaps offer the opportunity to think through a kind of a more expanded subject that where you could kind of like build an arc of programming that was kind of interconnected, that while like as a visitor you could come and see one exhibition and not necessarily know that it's part of a larger framework, a larger curatorial framework, but maybe if you're someone that kind of like follows our programming on a kind of more regular basis, you like you would kind of grow with alongside the program. And Building Cycles was, I would say, the first attempt at that, which I would say that it was a little bit tricky to communicate that at the beginning, especially because soon after we kind of like launched the framework around the curatorial framework, we presented as Building Cycles. We had to kind of like shut down because of COVID. And that really kind of like made us shift gears and do a very different type of very, we just had to kind of like work in a very different way. You know, we couldn't do exhibitions as we had planned to do them. But it allowed us to set an experiment or to test an experiment, like a curatorial experiment that I think now is much more clear. We launched another kind of like annual theme last year that we called On the Ground. And On the Ground was kind of a year-long study of how we were describing it as kind of like a year-long study of New York City's ground floor, and thinking about the storefront as an urban typology that is this kind of sort of threshold between public and private space. And this was an entire year of programs dedicated to New York City. So each of the exhibitions that we presented throughout this year was in about a different sort of like ground floor condition or ground floor situation through the work of different artists. So we worked with a fantastic sort of like research duo, what they call kind of like a fictional research entity called Canal Street Research Association that grounded the work around New Land Plaza, which is a building on Canal Street. Then we worked with the Chilean artist Francisca Benitez, who grounded her research around a former bank storefront in the East Village that is now the venue for the Earth Church, that together with the Stop Shopping Choir, they sort of have been occupying as their meeting space. And we also presented the work of Ilana Harris Babu, an artist who grew up in Brooklyn in Prospect Lefferts, and that her exhibition looked at kind of like, I would say kind of like the history of that neighborhood and through her memories, through her childhood memories of how that neighborhood used, how she used to experience that neighborhood as a kid. And at the moment, we're showcasing an exhibition by the collective Red Canary Song, that is an activist collective of Asian and migrant sex workers in Flushing, that it looks into the massage parlor as a sort of a contentious site
Oh, interesting.
within the urban landscape. So across the year, we've been presenting work about sort of the different conditions of, I guess, like being on the ground floor in New York City, and how these different very specific urban situations unfold based on these like storefronts. So that's been kind of like a really interesting experiment for us to, like to think about like one overarching theme that helps us articulate a program, or that helps us decide on like a sort of a program based on things that also storefront is somewhat known for, right? Like I think that there's a lot of potential in the scale of an institution such as storefront, because it allows you to experiment with kind of curatorial formats that otherwise in other institutions, such as the museums where I used to work on, it's a little bit more difficult to convey. And there is a, I mean, this is something that I noticed a lot over the course of this last year, that we were able to kind of develop this in this year-long program, this themed year-long program. You really start creating kind of like a cohort of people that like follow your entire programming rather than this kind of like one isolated moment. And that's something that, as someone that used to work in museums, you start thinking about how can you grow with your community also, like with your audience, and how, like, where do you take them based on the type of programs that you do also, or where do they take you actually?
I love that you've set up a bunch of questions that I wanted to ask you. Let me ask you one sort of quick question first. I was interested to hear, you sort of came in with this idea of building cycles, and then COVID hit, and that sort of evolved, and you're sort of thinking about it in different ways. As you look back over the 5 years, how has this idea of what a year-long theme, a year-long curatorial framework, how has that evolved over the years, or how have you sort of refined the way you think about that?
Yeah, I think that we really only are just wrapping up the first full year, like themed year, with this new theme that we're calling On the Ground, this kind of like New York focused one. And I think, reflecting on that, I would say we learned a lot of things, no? We learned that, in this year that we worked with all kind of artists based in New York, we were able to kind of create a group of people that like started, like they each come with their own following that is already here also. And that was very interesting in terms of sort of like building an audience, and connecting with local themes was very important for us. Especially, I mean, it's now been 5 years, but I really feel like that because of COVID, it almost feels like the first full year of programming that we're able to do kind of like almost like uninterrupted. And that was something that we really learned. Also, I would say that creating situations in which the artists that we're working with can meet each other was also very fruitful. For the kind of, because how can we, like, we always discuss this internally, like there's all this information that we could share about each of the projects and exhibitions that we work on, but there's only, I don't know, they're only on view for 3 months, and there's
Right.
only this so many outlets through how which we can share things, like whether it's like through social media or through like our e-blasts
Yeah.
or the newsprint that we do. But how can we create a framework where we can continue working with an artist beyond the 3 months of their exhibition period? And this kind of like annual theme allows us to come up with other excuses in which we can do public programs in which they can participate in something beyond their exhibition period, or we can bring in other voices of people who are doing work around those lines that doesn't necessarily have to translate into an exhibition, but that it can be a public program.
Right.
At the moment, we're actually kind of organizing. We're calling kind of like a convening for this previous year of programs on the ground, and we're actually kind of inviting all of the artists who participated in a program or an exhibition with us throughout the year, whether it was like through reading through an exhibition, but also through the public programs that the exhibitions hosted. We also throughout the year we launched a radio show in collaboration with Montez Press Radio. And we are about to launch the fourth episode of the year that's connected to this theme of like the ground floor in New York City. So all of the parts we're inviting all of the participants that also shared ideas with us through the radio show. And we're doing this kind of like celebratory convening where it's maybe around like 80 people that we're throwing this kind of like fun dinner, but there will also be readings, and we're actually launching a reader where we are including some of the writing where we've asked for written pieces by some of the participants of the program throughout the year. So it's kind of like that's kind of almost like a yearbook of
Yeah.
the last year of programs that's kind of celebrated through these gathering where we were the lucky ones, the ones who, like myself and the team here at Storefronts, were the lucky ones that got a chance to meet all these incredible people. But how can we create situations in which they can also meet other people who are thinking about similar things and are doing, I don't know, like grassroots work in Chinatown, but and meet with others who are doing grassroots work in Flushing. So I think that institutions such as Storefront can be spaces that could provide those type of scenarios beyond just hosting an exhibition about an interesting artist and an interesting subject.
I think that's exactly right. And that speaks to something that's always been interesting to me about Storefront. And I can maybe you can sort of correct me if you think any of this is maybe a wrong perception. But I've always found, you know, I lived in New York for almost 10 years and followed Storefront's programming, but I always found what you do hard to describe, frankly. You know, it's called the Storefront for Art and architecture. Its founding mission was described as to expand the role of art and architecture by merging the aesthetic quest and public life. It's something that feels very New York to me, but is also something that is sort of global and is connecting all of these kind of partnerships around the world. A lot of that is stuff that you've done. And well, I mean, I guess in the other piece of this is that it is an institution that has its own brand, but it is also something that is experimental and, you know, research focused, and that this framework can be a way to somehow merge those intersections. It can be both a way to think about what a cohesive program is while maintaining that research and experimentation. I'm interested in that balance between like how you think about what makes a storefront initiative while also maintaining these multiple publics that you're speaking about.
No, I love that you brought up that mission statement. We recently did an exhibition about the 40th anniversary at Storefront, which we called it was a, kind of a, an exhibition mostly with materials from the archive, celebrating its 40 years. And we called that exhibition Public Space in a Private Time, Building Storefront for Art and Architecture. And the title is taken from an essay that Vito Conchi sort of presented in form at Storefront in 1990. This was pre this was before he did the facade with Stephen Hall in 1992 and 1993. But the title really resonated with Storefront's mission. It also kind of just felt, even though it's like this phrase from this essay from the 90s, it's like you read it now and it's almost as if Vito is describing kind of like New York City now and like how one navigates through urban space, complex contemporary city. And in that exhibition, we included a bunch of different versions of the mission statement, which is also kind of a really fascinating way of like trying to main like keep a cultural institution like relevant or meaningful for others. But it's quite fascinating to look at Storefront's sort of like different versions of the mission statement because it's always been kind of it's different versions of itself. There's never really kind of like a radical change in which it kind of like shifts into something that's like more towards like you could read it through so many lenses. No, you could read it through the lens of like an organization that an activist profile or a policy driven sort of profile, but at the same time, you could also read it as an organization that is mainly interested in like being a space for ideas. And a space for artists, researchers, architects, and designers to think about how the built environment around them sort of like impacts their lives. And I think that like trying to find a balance between all those things is what makes Storefront unique, that it's not just a space for kind of like art or architecture, but it's also not a space only exclusively for purely activist work or pure like policy. It's like somewhere in between. And I think that like one of the things that along with the board and the team and like the people that are close to Storefront that we keep kind of like bringing up is like that somehow that and of like art and architecture is almost like more important than like either art or architecture, right? So like that and that conceptually the it's neither this nor that. And somehow all those things that don't find a place in other institutions make sense here.
You once referred to Storefront. You said it's not about the discipline of architecture. You said it's about the city. It's about the lived experience. And I think that sort of speaks to what you're talking about here also. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about, Storefront was founded in 82, and you just had that 40-year exhibition. And now in 2024, it is a very different New York. And I think when you're talking about the on the ground exhibition, you're sort of speaking to that different New York also. What is the role of a place like Storefront to do all of those things that you just talked about in a New York in 2024 that is different than sort of, that 1982 mission statement?
I would say that it's a space where that's sort of like wears many hats. No, it's like where different people doing work around built environment issues like can feel that they have a space where they can learn about other built environments, but also a space where they could like meet other people who are thinking about these type of works that are doing it through very different, I would say, like approaches from their own. And I think it is a space that just has a lot of potential in doing in presenting work that's not necessarily like static, that like the a lot of the work that we or a lot of the issues that the work that's presented at Storefront, a lot of the issues that are addressed through the work that's presented at Storefront are very much kind of like happening and alive and happening in real time. So whether it's the case of like the massage parlors and Flushing and the community of workers around it. It's like a very pressing issue right now, and the show at Storefront sort of reflects that. Whether it's that or, for example, a recent exhibition that we did that in with an artist and anthropologist from Sonora, Mexico, that they presented a work around of a decommissioned gold mine in Mexico. And the exhibition, it was about a legal case of how to restore that mine into how to restore it into kind of like the original habitat of how it was before they dug that huge hole. And so the exhibition was sort of documenting this case that remains active, and that there's still kind of like protests happening around that case. And it's a very sort of relevant issue now to a bunch of different constituents. So I would say that in unlike other traditional, I would say like exhibition spaces, Storefront's mission allows us to present work that is that has a space for it, that Storefront becomes that space to reflect on those issues, but at the same time, it also at times has the potential of kind of I guess like creating awareness for it, but like there's always that possible, like it depends on like how we work on each project and how comfortable the artists feel doing it, but like we're such a nimble organization that we are open to kind of like looking at those subjects through I would say like a policy lens or an activist lens or like a, these different ways of approaching each project. And each project is different. But I think that that's something that's very unique about Storefront, and I think that that makes it very relevant to today. And in terms of I would say like future programming, we just got back from we did kind of like a curatorial artist summit retreat in Mexico with the artists that we're going to be working with this coming year. So we're announcing it in a couple of weeks, and something that we it's the first time that we got a chance to do, but we brought everyone together. It was a group of around 20 people traveling together for 5 days, including the three artists that are going to be presenting exhibitions at Storefront next year. And we did this kind of sort of like a think tank slash summit where along with the artists were a bunch of different interlocutors that were curators, other artists, and we went to kind of we spent a few days in the Yucatan near Mérida and traveling around the state, which is very known, like among its many other things. It's like by the Gulf of Mexico, and there's a lot of like the cenotes and the aquifers, and that's actually kind of it's like a hint to the issues that we're going to be addressing next year. Next year's sort of like theme, we're calling it swamp lands, and all the projects throughout the year will be looking at kind of the material politics of water, and actually, like each of the exhibitions are anchored in different places along the Gulf of Mexico. So one project is rooted in Galveston, Texas. Another project is rooted in New Orleans. Another project is rooted in the Yucatan. And we're thinking about this, I guess, like the muddy waters of like the unstable what like grounds of that transitional space between sort of like water and land and the potential in those muddy waters. So it was we're about to announce it, but like being able to gather the full group of people to spend a few days and think together before we launch the year is part of this, I would say, the curatorial experiments that we're working on and that we're slowly refining. And I think that having spent those days together and exchanging ideas is going to make the year's program much better also. I don't know, it was just like such an incredible opportunity to be able to do that. And it really also makes me think about like the work that institutions can do is beyond whatever is public facing. Because these sort of like internal processes also I guess will be reflected in one way or another in the work that's presented at the gallery and in the work that we do throughout the year.
That is exactly where I wanted to take this conversation. I love that you brought that up there because, you mentioned earlier, your background is as a curator, and I want to talk about your background more in a second. But you're now in this position where you are organizing these shows, and your title is executive director and chief curator. And so you're doing curatorial work, but you're also making sure that storefront lives. You're involved in making sure that there's money there and that all that work can actually be done. And I'm wondering how you sort of think about the overlap between the sort of nuts and bolts of running an institution, keeping an institution running, making sure that people have the resources they need with that sort of curatorial, intellectual, sort of ideas research space. How do those fit together for you in your work and in this role specifically?
We're a very small organization. We're four full-time members, team members, and two part-time people. And we also work with an incredible board that's very supportive of what we do. And the team at Storefront is just like really fantastic. It's Guillermo Ruiz de Teresa is a deputy director and curator. Jessica Kwok is associate curator, and Eduardo Meneses is environments and production manager. And together we really kind of do everything. Of course, I'm also kind of I have to oversee I guess the development aspect of Storefront and like the financial aspect of Storefront. And Guillermo is a great of great help in that regard as well. But I don't know. I mean, I think that like if you want to work in organizations of this scale, you kind of have to go through all aspects of like from like the Instagram post to sitting at the gallery desk sometimes to organizing a big fundraiser and like doing like I don't know the seating arrangement for that but I think that that's kind of like what being curator is in general to like and I don't know I try not to think about it that much I don't know I actually like my first job straight out of college, I went to architecture school in Mexico, but I moved to New York soon after, like right after graduation, actually. And my first job was actually as an intern at Storefront. This was a while back. And I used to do a lot of the work that I do now also
I was
as
gonna
an
ask you about
intern.
that.
So it's like, you just like, yeah, you just like, I don't know, you, but from like sweeping the sidewalk, which I sometimes still do, to I don't know. It's like I think that these institutions, if we there's so much value in these institutions that are of the scale, and if we want to keep them alive, like you have to be willing to do all sorts of things. And of course, they could be in better shape, and we're working towards that being better, but like in like a very concrete way, like we're working with a larger consortium of organizations where we're looking at kind of like our sort of like the compensation and like all of those things are also part of it, making sure that that's fair and that that's up to standard in New York City. And hey, so yeah, it's like thinking about those things, but also thinking about like the day-to-day operations. And I think that if we believe in the work of organizations of this scale, which I truly do think that it's important that there's big museums, but then there's also these other forms of practice, and these spaces that allow artists to think about their work, to think and present their work in very different ways. We need to be willing to do all sorts of things, and maybe sometimes like becoming more institutional is not necessarily the best direction. I think becoming spaces that have fair compensation and but like that doesn't mean that you have to become this sort of like institutional apparatus where like other forms of experimentation just like become impossible. So I really also think that like I worked as a server at a restaurant in New York for several years, and I'm not joking, but like I also think that that was like great training as a curator. And it's just true. It's like being a curator and working at an institution such as Storefront, it's about like it's hospitality also. It really is like making people feel welcome and that their ideas have a space in this quote unquote institution, in this organization. Having worked as an intern at Storefront, having worked at in hospitality for several years also, I think was a great sort of it helps me balance whatever ideas I had about like institutional practice.
I'm curious also sort of back in that, when you first moved to New York. So you studied architecture and then you worked at Storefront for about 2 years and then went back to school. You went to Columbia in the then new master's program in critical, curatorial, and conceptual practices. I'm curious about that architecture background for a second. And sort of the realization that maybe you weren't going to be somebody who was designing buildings and sort of moving into a role that is more curatorial, more conceptual, like the career that you've had. What from that architecture education has influenced your curatorial work, if anything?
Yeah, I did go to architecture school, and I think actually I don't know, it was great training for me. I as I mentioned, I like moved to New York like right after college. I went to architecture school in Guadalajara, in Mexico, at a university called ITESO. And it was actually kind of a an interesting kind of like already from when I was in college, I think I was already thinking about I don't know if I thought about it necessarily as curatorial practice, but like of the intersection of the arts. Sure. Actually, like a lot of professors I had or the people I knew in Mexico who were trained as architects ended up doing work as artists or doing following kind of like a path as visual artists with work that was very informed by architecture. So somehow that like was happening throughout while I was in college, while I was in university in Mexico. And when I moved to New York, like right after I graduated, I went to Storefront, asked for an internship, and ended up like sitting at the desk, at the front desk there, like 2 weeks in, I think. And that was a very formative experience for me, just by seeing the work that was presented, but also just like understanding what it meant to kind of like open and close a space and like welcome people in. And like, I mean, I was, I think it was like 22, sitting at the desk, and just like having these conversations with strangers. And I took that role very seriously.
Yeah, I love it.
And it really, I don't know, it was a window into kind of another way of thinking about how to practice. And I was never really too tied to the idea of work, like practicing as an architect, as a, like other design, like in any of the other kind of like aspects of architecture. So I don't know, it was kind of seamless and very organic in a way. I would say that while there, I got a chance to meet a lot of people. The director at the time was Joseph Grima, and he was also really fantastic in terms of introducing me to a lot of people that he was working with, and just kind of like seeing the range of ways of practicing was Storefront really kind of offered that window. And there was a moment when I kind of wanted to think about curatorial practice in a more I would say a serious way. So I had the opportunity of going to graduate school at Columbia at that program, which again at the time was, as you mentioned, was had just started. I think I was a second year of critical curatorial and conceptual practices in architecture, and it was I had come across Felicity Scott's book at the time, I don't know, it was just like a really fascinating way of thinking about architecture, and it seemed like that could be a good framework for me rather than like a straight up curatorial program, like I don't know, the Bard program. Yeah, it was a important moment because I also met incredible colleagues whose work I also really respect and admire, and have become kind of important thinking partners in my life.
I'm wondering how your definition or definitions of architecture have changed over this time. Studying architecture, being sort of in and around that world, but also in the art worlds, being a curator, talking about the importance of the "and" in the title Storefront for Art and Architecture. Talking about wanting to move away from that word and talking about the built environment more generally. How has that changed the way you think about, quote unquote, architecture?
I don't know. There was a moment, like, it's interesting because, like, there was a moment when I arrived at Storefront recently, or like in the last 5 years, and it was like thinking about how Storefront was more responsive to things that were happening kind of like in what we are calling, quote unquote, the built environment. And I know that's kind of like a maybe now commonplace concept, but like it helps us think about architecture more expansively, or I don't know if it's necessarily think about architecture expansively, but it helps us think through much more complex issues that are happening around architecture, let's put it that way. I kind of always understood architecture as something that was beyond whatever was built, but like also all these like social issues that are happening around it. So I think that it's, I would say that it's changed in the way that like I don't know, I like it's so complicated to think of architecture as an isolated object or as an isolated thing.
I mean, I think that's why your work and Storefront's work is so interesting to me, is because it does see architecture as something that is expansive and connected to everything else, that these separations that you said you don't think about, that they do fall away. And I think that's what we need more of, because when those definitions start to harden, then all the work becomes making sure that those definitions stay put. And I think, like, when you can sort of like break those down, I don't know, to me that's like the exciting work, and that's the work that you're doing and that Storefront is doing, in a lot of ways.
Thank you.
I'll ask you the last question. I think that's a really nice way to wrap up. I'll ask you the last question, which hopefully is a little bit easier, a little more straightforward for you. I'm curious what you're reading right now.
Right now, I'll just say like we're deep into the swamps. As we're getting ready for this for next year's theme, for this year's theme. And we just spent these like incredible days in the Yucatan, and one of the participants was this incredible anthropologist, Andrea Ballestero. She's from Costa Rica but is based at USC. One of the essays that she presented was The Anthropology of Water, that was such a really amazing approach to thinking about water in this sort of really expansive way that I highly recommend.
I love that.
And we'll be sharing more. We'll be sharing more about it throughout the year. But yeah, it was
Yeah,
great.
that's great. Jose, thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
That was my conversation with Jose Esparza Chonghui. It was recorded on February 16th, 2024. Our theme music is by Jeremiah Chu. The show is and always will be free thanks to the generosity of our Patreon supporters. If you like what we're doing, I hope you consider supporting us and get some bonus content each month. You can follow us across social media at Surface Podcast. You can listen to all of our previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts and at our website, scratchingthesurface.fm. Thanks for listening.